Thank you very much. You don't mind me preaching slightly to the left this morning? Slightly to the left. Wow, what a powerful morning. A lot of these things have been actually resonating in my heart all week, just preparing. What God is looking for is a willing heart. It's so true. One that will come, that one that would have that heart of, Lord, can I give you everything? Lord, what can you make from a life like mine? You know, what can you do with me? And just, I want to lay my life down for you. I want to lay my life so that other people could find life. It's been on my heart a lot lately. We're going to be starting in Acts this morning. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be heading there. If you don't have a Bible, I'm sure you've got a smartphone with an app on there, with the Bible on there. Or the whole, you know, internet will have that. So I'm going to be in Acts 4, verse 16. Just before we start, I want to just talk about a verse that I was reading last night. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. How many have heard that before? God has not given us a spirit of fear. What's the opposite of fear in this case? Boldness. God has, you can say the opposite is true. God has given us a spirit of boldness, not of hate, but of love, not of idleness or inactivity, but of power, not of confusion, but of a sound mind. This morning, as God is going to be stirring your heart, and I really do want to come back to that place where we can say, God, take this life, have all of me, whatever you can make of this life. I want you to have that in your heart, that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of boldness. God has not given you a spirit of hate, but a spirit of love. God has not given you a spirit of idleness or inactivity, but a spirit of power. He has not given you a spirit of confusion, but He has given you a spirit of a sound mind. Amen? So just as you're listening this morning, God is going to be dropping little things into your heart. So as the Word of God is preached, or as we hear the songs, do you notice there's the odd time where it's just illumination or just something? I really believe that is God saying, I have not given you a spirit of confusion, but you are my son and my daughter, and I'm giving you a spirit of a sound mind. I'm giving you a mind that can receive things from me. So as God's talking this morning, through this Word, and as I'm just asking the Lord, anything, God, you would like to say, say it this morning. Just be prepared and confess to your mouth, or to your mind, I have a sound mind. I have been given a spirit of a sound mind. Amen? We're going to jump to Acts 4, verse 16. So this is just after Peter had been preaching, and the Pharisees and the high priests, they're getting pretty upset with him because they healed a man who was over 30, this man, who had been like sick for his whole life, couldn't even walk, okay? So this is the man they healed, and they are upset with him. So this is where we jump in. Verse 16, what are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they've performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name, in the name of Jesus. Then they called them in again. This is after they'd been in prison overnight. They called them in again and commanded them not to speak or to teach the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help but speak. Help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot help. 21. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Even older than I said. I said 30. 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voice together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles, the people of Israel in the city, to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And 31, after they played, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. As we're reading that story, I come back to that verse 31. When they prayed, the place was shaken. There's churches and there's people of faith who never pray that same prayer. That prayer of God, everything might be against me, God, but I know who you are. You're the God of heaven and earth. They come together. It says that they came together, 26. When they heard this, they raised their voice together in prayer to God. There's a people that need to come to a place of prayer where we are raising our voice to God, where we are shouting to God like, God, take this life. Do what you can with this life. Fill me with your spirit, God. God of heaven and of earth, change this around so that I may be able to preach boldly of your good news. And what does God do? Verse 31, it says that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. How many desire that this morning? A fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit so that our lives could be marked with boldness and that we would be able to preach the word of God boldly. That's my heart's desire. This is a secret of prayer. When you come to God, and it's actually not, some people say, I pray to God inwardly. Well, there's the odd time where it's so bubbling over, it's got to come out, right? I remember Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody, Smith Wigglesworth? Love that guy. He said a little thing. He said people would come up to him and say, you know, I praise God in my inward being, you know? He's like, well, sometimes you got to get it to your outward being. He'd be at a meeting and he'd come by and, you know, somebody he knew wasn't there. He'd say, I didn't see you at the meeting last night. Oh, brother, I was there with you in spirit. He said, well, next time, would you bring your body with your spirit? I don't want a whole lot of spirits and no bodies in this place. But it's that same thing. When we come together, it's a place of power, right? When we come together in unity and our heart's desire is to see Saskatoon, to see Saskatchewan, Canada know Christ, we lift up our voice together and God falls on that place, right? God wants to use all of us. It's good news. God came to set us free. He doesn't want a place where everything has become formal, dry, and dead. God wants us to be free. It is for freedom that Christ set you free. It's not so that you could get back into dry things that God set you free. He set you free to be free. So this morning, that was the power of Pentecost. These men who had just been shaken. Jesus came along the road. Their hearts were lifted. Peter went back to fishing. Jesus came and said, do you love me? Yes, do you love me? Yes, do you love me? These men who were shaken up after Jesus had just risen from the dead. Angels are saying, in the same way he's departed, he's going to come back. These men were set free. When they're in that upper room, they were of one spirit and one mind up there praying together, and the Holy Spirit dropped. And they're like in such freedom, such a place of joy, that it's 9 a.m. and people are saying, I think these guys are drunk. Remember, that's the first thing they said about these. It's only 9 a.m. We're not drunk. We are just so full of the Holy Spirit and joy and freedom. That's what you're seeing right now. That freedom you feel from a drink, oh, it's far beyond that, the Holy Spirit, the freedom you will feel. You don't need to have one drink to feel good throughout your day, okay? I don't know if anybody else has a little smirk after that, but some people need a drink just to get through the day. Constant buzz would be nice for some people, but no, you need the Holy Spirit. You need that freedom. I'm way off track. Let's get back. I'm like, what am I even? You come around, you don't even agree with what you're saying after you say it. No, I agree with it. I love it. We talked about Lazarus a couple weeks ago. When Jesus arrived at Lazarus' tomb, they said, you know what, Jesus, you're too late. You're too late, he's dead. But when you walk in resurrection power, you are never too late. When you walk with the Holy Spirit power inside of you, you can walk into any circumstance and it's never too late. God always can change things around. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of power. Our Christ is risen, the living God indwells us, and it's not just a theory, there's power. So this power that God gives us through his Holy Spirit, at some point, has to animate our life. It has to come across from our spirit to our face. Do you ever wish you could just, I like some people, like, you know that one person who, you just look at them and they're just looking like this? And you're like, I'm going to help you. And you just like tweak their face, like you give them a little smile. Because really, if that's your default face, that's not a good face. You want to have the default face is full of the Spirit. Why not put a smile on your face? Amen? Yeah. Why not have some joy in your bones? Let the Holy Spirit start animating you. Yeah. The glorious resurrection power can surge through your body. We can have it today, right? We can receive that today. Do you believe that today? Has God changed? Has the New Testament changed? No, God is still just alive then as he is now. Well, we're going to get to it. We're going to get to a place where we're praying as a church, and I believe it today. We have to go to a place of believing God. It's time we knew how to shout. There's a time where this eternal power within us comes out. That's what, we're going to get to it today. Are you ready for this? I've been thinking about this, and I'm telling you, like, as I've been preparing this week, I hope you know that I'm actually praying to God. As like a shepherd of this place, I believe God wants to speak to you. I hope you know that I'm not just trying to think of the newest, coolest thing. Right. When I'm coming to God this week, I'm saying, God, what do you want to say to your people? So I hope you receive this morning. God wants to lift you up, and he wants to get a shout within your bones again. When we know how to shout properly, things will be different. So in verse 24, they lifted up their voice in one accord. Wonder what that was like. These men had finally been set free overnight. They get to this house, and the first thing, they tell them what they did. What's the first thing they do? They lift up their voice to God in one accord. I'm imagining this place is pretty loud. That's my heart's desire. That's the purpose of life groups. I mean, Sunday morning, we come together, we celebrate, we have a good time. But you know what? Those life groups is a time when you come together as a community, you get to go deep, you get to dig deep. Sunday morning is actually like a time where you can just let loose, feel free.
Yeah.
Amen. Life, living water is going to flow through you. God has promised to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Do you believe that promise this morning? He went to Calvary for us in order that we might be free, that nothing would hinder us, that he might transform us, and that the power of Satan would have to fall to the glorious power of God. That's what he did. So, we're going to get to another verse, Acts 9, verse 6. So this Jesus, he comes to abide in us. It is Jesus who baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. He gives us the Holy Ghost in this power. So we're going to go to Acts 9, verse 6. We have it up here. And he trembling and astonished. I'll give you a backstory before this happened. So Saul is going around murdering Christians. Okay? He's on the road to Damascus. It's just fun to say it that way. Because I've just heard southern preachers talk about Paul and Damascus. So he's on his way to Damascus, and Jesus in his brilliant light appears to Saul. So this is the moment. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told to thee what thou must do. I just like KJV once in a while. That's what I grew up on, KJV. I went to a Pentecostal college where it was actually like 1611 KJV is the only Bible. Have you guys been through that? I've since learned to love other versions, but I love coming to this. So, what will you have me do? that first thing, as he is met with the risen Lord, as he is met with Jesus Christ, Paul understands, and that is the same cry that we can say this morning. Lord, what would you have me to do? He says, arise, go into the city, it shall be told to me, told to thee what thou must do. Before, I don't want to stay on this too long, but the Lord answers, get to the city, there is something you must do. Sometimes we come to Christianity, especially this millennial generation that I happen to be a part of, where there's not much doing. But the prayer of Saul is, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? Yeah. Just think through that this morning. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan to, in a relationship way, have you affect the environment more than the environment affects you. Do you believe that this morning? So, I want us today saying the same thing. What will you have me do? This is a place of yieldness to God. I've caught myself saying things like, Lord, I want the baptism. I want the power. I want this, I want that. But there's been times, and I know in my heart, that I'm not in a place of being yielded to Christ. If anything, I'm not yielding. I'm yielding to other things. Lord, I want to move powerfully. And it's the same cry of Paul that we need to have. Lord, what would you have me to do? Your will be done. The only thing that is needed is a condition where God can come in. So when you begin yielding, and you begin yielding, and you begin yielding to God, guess what? He says, man, I can take that clay. I can mold that into something. I can breathe my spirit of life into that. This morning, as my dad was talking, that was my dad up here, in case you were wondering. As Theo was talking, as the worship was going, there's a lot of that same thing coming through. Let me be a sacrifice. Let me dedicate my life to worship you. Let us dedicate our lives back this morning. Are you feeling stirred this morning? Good. We're going to get back into worship soon. Not quite yet. I'll call the band up. But I just want that, God, what would you have me to do? Paul had a call of God. He reached a huge portion of Asia. And it comes from the same place of, God, what would you have me to do? And I believe there are people here this morning that God is going to put a mission into your heart this morning as you say, what would you have to me to do? Some might be like China, Asia, might be overseas. I believe God is going to be speaking to hearts this morning and giving a mission to your heart. Can you believe that this morning? Acts 19:11, it says, God worked special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out from them. If you would yield yourself to God, if you would say, God, have your way in my life, you could move in this same way. Now, it's not some magic thing, these handkerchiefs that Paul had. Jesus says the same thing when he opened up the scroll. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me. Do you remember that? The Spirit of God is upon you. That's where the power is. It's not some magic thing. It's the Spirit of God is upon you. As you yield yourself, if you were the same prayer as Jesus, the same prayer as Paul, you can walk in the same way. I'm going to leave on this story if we can have the band back up. There's this Russian man that came through England. True story. He's coming through England and people, he didn't know the language well, but he would be coming to people and he'd be healing people. And then he would go to the next person and they would be healed, miraculously healed. And people would come up to him. He slowly learned the language so he could respond. They come up to him and they kept asking, like, what's the secret? What is the secret to this? But he thought it was so precious. He said, when I first got saved, I felt the voice of the Holy Spirit talk to me. And at that moment, I said, whatever I have to do to keep your spirit, I want to yield myself to you. So it's that place, he said, I just yielded it and yielded it and yielded until I started having thoughts that weren't my own. He said, I started praying for people and words came out that weren't my own. I started to have thoughts and I felt like I had the mind of Christ. And slowly it was like, it is not me, but Christ who lives in me. This morning, as we come, I want us to sing again. Even if we just sing that first part of that presence song, let us just dedicate our lives. Sometimes it takes us to a place where God wants to speak to us. How many have had God speak to their hearts before and felt a call? All of us. There's a place where I've been and I've had to come back and say, Lord, I heard you speak to me and I said no. I heard you press upon my heart something and I said no. But God is a God of second chances. He doesn't regret making you, you know? He doesn't regret saving you. He is so happy in every moment. He's saying, if you would listen, if you would come to me again and yield your heart again, we can start fresh. So this morning, let us just begin to say, God, what would you have me do? What is your will in this day, in this time? God is a day-to-day God. He's a big picture God. Like a woman can see the big picture, but he's also like a man where he sees day to day to day. God wants to affect your life surrounding. So this morning, can we stand and sing together this verse? God, would you begin to move upon our hearts, God? We desire to be in a place where we are yielded to you, where your Holy Spirit can have full power in through our mortal bodies, God, that your Holy Spirit would fill us to such a place where we can say, not I, but Christ that lives within me, God. I know that the thing of the handkerchiefs was not just a one-time thing. God, this happens all throughout history since then, God. You move miraculously, God. You are the God that does not change. God, if you would do it for them, you can do it for us, God. So we want to be in such a place of yieldedness, God, that even as we walk past somebody, they would feel your Holy Spirit within us say, I have to talk to you. I feel conviction close to you. I feel love close to you. I feel something drawing close to you, God. We want to yield ourselves, Lord, this morning so that we would see our family, see our friends, see this city come to know you deeper, God. Holy Spirit, just stir our hearts right now. So let's sing together this first part of that song.
Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy. I will walk in your presence, Lord. I commit my life to your ways, Lord. Hosanna, holy, holy Lord. Hallelujah. God, would you take this life, God? Would you take our lives, God? Would you have your way in our life, God? Let us be constantly in a place of talking with you, God. Constantly in a place that we would say, Lord, what would you have me do? When you hear something, God, what would you have me say? How would you have me respond, God? God, you long to walk with us. You long to lead us. You long to be our counselor, our guide. Holy Spirit, would you have your way this morning? Holy Spirit, we ask for even a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. Just like those men in that room lifted up their voice together and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they preached the word of God boldly, God. This morning we say that same prayer, God. What would you have me to do? Your will be done in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you that you go with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you go with us. You are our comfort, our God. Thank you that we can always come to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. So, God, we just ask that you would remind us how much you love us throughout this week. Holy Spirit, even now, we give you permission. We ask that you would continue to draw our hearts to this same place of knowing if we abide in you, if we abide in the vine, there's life, God. We want to abide in you where we are constantly drawing on your life, your Holy Spirit. God, we want to stay in that place of walking with you and being your hands and feet on this earth in this time. Amen. God's people said,
amen.
Amen. That's right. Well, that's an amazing Sunday. Let's stay in that place throughout this week. We have the Bash Brothers coming up next. Two Sundays back to back. It's pretty exciting. We got my buddy, my friend, Theo Block preaching next week. The Bash Brother right after that. Michael Payne the week right after. Come on out for the next couple weeks. And of course, love on somebody right now getting connected. All right, I love you guys. Have an amazing week. Thanks so much.